Hi, this is Rick Emerson, and the following encore of Legion of News is brought to you by Squires Electric. Whether it's electrical wiring, Ethernet wiring, or wiring of any kind at all in your home or business, Squires Electric can make your life easier. Find out more at squireselectric.com or call 503-252-1609. Squires Electric. High atop the Milkpacking District, in the heart of beautiful southeast Portland, Oregon. This, my friends, is Legion of News, a one-hour distillation of all-important knowledge from everywhere. My name is Rick Emerson, alongside Don Taylor, who is, even now, as I speak these words to you, preparing information on a vast swath of happenings, including, but not limited to, the following.
A woman with a fake bomb robs a Gresham Bank. Arnold Schwarzenegger fathered a child with the help, and fields of watermelons are exploding in China.
As always, my friends, have no doubt that this conglomeration of factual discourse and ideological screed will render you shocked, amazed, enraptured, and demonstrably more intelligent than when you began this hour. And now, without further ado, pay heed for this is Legion of News.
Good afternoon. I'm Don Taylor, and this is absolutely everything you need to know for Tuesday, May 17th, 2011. A woman threatened employees at a Gresham Credit Union with a device she said was a bomb and ordered them to give her large bills during a robbery late yesterday morning. The woman handed the teller a note demanding money and pulled the so-called bomb out of her pocket. It was black, shaped like a cylinder, and had wires sticking out of it, according to a police spokesman. The bank employees gave the robber an undisclosed amount of cash, and then she fled. Police said a man with dark brown hair in his late 20s was waiting for her outside in a green Mercedes ML320 SUV, and the two drove off in an unknown direction. The robber was described as a woman in her late 20s with her hair pulled back into a black hat, wearing a black and white dress, standing about 5'6" tall and weighing about 130 pounds. This was at the Rivermark Credit Union at 901 Southwest Highland Drive. The woman ordered the employees not to sound the alarms, but police did respond after 11 a.m. There were customers inside the credit union, but no one was injured.
You are listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Thank you for joining us. It is Tuesday, May 17th, 2011. Coming up later on this hour, entertainment news, science, and the march. And don't forget, if you want to get this program later via iTunes, you can do that. Also, as a direct MP3 download here at Cascadia.fm or at legionofnews.com. And next hour, about 1 hour and 10 minutes from now, at rickemerson.com, you'll be joined by, well, us. That's at rickemerson.com later on the day for the low cost of just 32 cents a day. Here is Don Taylor.
The biggest bond measure in state history only had 23% of registered voters weighing in yesterday. Multnomah County voted on a $548 million bond that would repair schools across the district and a $57 million levy that would save teachers' jobs. The average homeowner in the Portland School District would pay an extra $400 a year if the measures pass. While the turnout is low for a general election, 30% of eligible voters, Multnomah County Elections Director Tim Scott said it's actually not that bad for a special district election.
All I care about is that they quit coming to my door and knocking and asking me for money.
Well, this is worse, though. This is them just going, and you're going to pay taxes for all of this other stuff that you didn't vote on, apparently.
No, but I mean, they've been making the rounds of my neighborhood.
Oh, have they?
No, they've been like, and it's always a dad and his kid. Like, every night for the last, I don't know, 10 days. I don't even answer the... Last night, by the way, whoever it was knocking on my door last night, undoubtedly to pimp this or something of this nature, that was... Yes, I was there. Yes, you could see me through the gauzy, curtainy material covering my front door. No, I was not getting off the couch. The guy sat there, and I know he could see me. And the dog was barking, and I just sort of casually looked up at that, and I just ignore him.
I don't know you.
No, I just let him sit there for a while. But it was always like a parent and their kid who would come along, and they would knock at the door, and I would answer it, and I would say, hello. And then they would say, hello, my name is so-and-so, and this is my son. who is a student at Multnomah County School, you know, and then I would have to pretend that the toilet was overflowing or something, or that like my pants were on fire, or that I was being attacked by cockroaches, and I, you know, I'm sorry, I'd love to talk, but I gotta go, I'm really hushing, I don't even live in Florida, bye. And then I would have to shut the door. And as long as that's done, that's all I care about.
Yeah, it did definitely. This whole thing has led to my decision 2 years ago to sell my house and move away from Multnomah County, because when they start with the tax measures and it's $300 just this year. It's a special thing, just this one time.
Yeah.
And you're going, no, it's not going to just be
this one
time.
Nothing is ever just one time.
It's never going to be just. And, of course, it wasn't.
It's like when your husband tells you he wants to do it just one time. You know, no, baby, I just want to find out what it's like. That's a lie.
So, and I'm like, I don't, you know, it's not that I don't care about your children. Okay, I don't care about your children. I don't have children.
I actively dislike your children, for the most part.
Anyway, voters in Clackamas County are deciding whether to tax themselves an extra $5 for vehicle registration. That money would also help pay for the replacement of the Selwood Bridge.
Yeah.
So, that's $5 for vehicle registration, $400 a year for schools. Anyway.
Somebody wants to know how they found out that the bomb was fake.
Oh, interesting.
I don't believe we have access to that information at this time.
No.
But thank you for inquiring.
They usually do call the bomb squad even if something looks fake. And then they, do whatever bomb squads do. I don't know. We need to look into that.
We need to, but we won't. You're listening to Legion of News here at Cascadia.fm. Don't labor under any illusion that there's going to be further investigation given on the matter, at least not by me. I couldn't possibly care less. You are listening to Cascadia.fm, and don't forget you can get this program later on the day as a direct MP3 download here or at legionofnews.com. This is Don Taylor.
You know, we could send Peter Carlin out to do stuff like this. He's not working for the Argonian anymore, so, you know, he's got some free time on his hands. We could ask him to find out something for us.
He's got slack moments to fill.
Yeah. Do you have that TriMet story and the sound for me?
I have whatever you printed.
Okay.
All right.
No, you don't have the TriMet story. Okay, well, we'll do this
instead. I have whatever you sent me this morning.
I just said a few minutes ago, I'm also sending you this story, a link to the story.
No, you got to actually make sure that I respond.
Oh.
No, yes. If I don't actually say, that's great, I'll get right on that, then it means I'm not really listening to you.
You said, okay.
Just
and it sounded like you were listening.
No, just because you speak to me and I nod my head and smile and go, that's swell, Don. You shouldn't construe that as evidence that I'm actually paying attention to or caring about anything you say to me.
We've reached that point in our marriage, have we?
We were never at any other point. I'm not at that point with anybody else. By the way, anybody else you talk to me? And if I go, uh-huh, no, really, that's really fascinating. I'm not listening.
Okay, well, I sent you a link.
I've never been listening.
If you could, like...
What?
There's a link to a story I emailed you. If you could get that and email it for me.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Or print it for me.
Yeah, I don't see it.
Oh, well, stupid phone. Okay. President, if you could look for a story about a TriMet bus being hit by a train.
Okay.
That would be awesome. President Barack Obama met with Jordan's King Abdullah II today at the White House to discuss a variety of issues, including the uprisings in the Middle East, two hopes for an agreement between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
This is Obama 1.
Yes.
Jordan, obviously, with its own peace with Israel, has an enormous stake in this. The United States has an enormous stake in this. We will continue to partner to try to encourage an equitable and just solution to a problem that has been nagging the region for many, many years.
Every time they say they want to find an equitable solution to something, an equitable solution, they're going to find a solution that fits all parties or that addresses all the relevant issues. That means everybody involved is a jackass and nobody's ever going to be happy.
But let's look at it this way. We got Obama. He kills pirates. He kills bin Laden. Now he's going to bring peace between the Israelis and the Palestinians.
He should just threaten to kill them, too. He should be like, look, I killed more people than you before breakfast. So I will take care of everybody in this room right now if I have to. If you don't, he should just do that. He'd be like, look, I'm going to be back in an hour. And, either come to a decision or I'm just going to start whacking people. That's as simple as I can put it. And then he just goes and he adds a croissant and he comes back.
Honest God, after everything he's been doing, though, if he brings some sort of workable agreement to the Palestinians and the Israelis, he should just start wearing a cape.
Then he can begin healing lepers and walking upon the water.
President Obama says both countries will continue to push for a peace resolution in
Israel. Because of the many changes that are taking place in the region, it's more vital than ever that both Israelis and Palestinians find a way to get back to the table and begin negotiating a process whereby they can create two states that are living side by side in peace and security.
For the love of God. Seriously, just there's No one cares where you live. God doesn't care. We don't care. Pick a goddamn country and stay there. Jesus.
Or, and don't, like, round people up and push them into one little corner of your country. And then,
but see,
and
we
then,
don't even,
and then expect them to not get mad
we
at
We don't
you.
Even need that step. God doesn't care. Oh. Just quit. He doesn't care where you live. He doesn't quit. He didn't promise it to anyone.
No.
It's not like, it's not a video game where you get to stack quarters on the country and go, I got next. Just shut your hole. Stay where you are. Jesus.
Emerson to Israel. Just shut your hole.
It's not Emerson to Israel. It's Emerson to everybody. God doesn't care what you wear. He doesn't care what you eat. He doesn't care if you sleep in. Doesn't care what kind of wine you're having on what day of the week. Mm-hmm. Doesn't care what your wife is wearing. Doesn't care if your wife F's the mailman. Doesn't care.
If Stephen Hawking doesn't believe in heaven, and he is like so much smarter than you are, you know, figure it out.
I'm just making the observation that it really just seems like we, it seems like it is, presuming that there is a God, it seems like, we really impose on him a lot by just asking for his attention for the most minor of details.
Oh, yeah.
And also, and just we make him out to be a really petty tyrant, you know, that he really is, I'm going to have to sentence you to eternal damnation because you did in fact plant two different types of grain in parallel rows as forbidden by Leviticus. So, sorry, it's the guy with the horns and the pointy stick for you for all time. Jesus. God, I hate people. All right, I'm printing that Max story right now, by the way, and you should have that here in just a few.
I thought I was the one who was cranky today, and yet...
No, I'm not cranky. It just
you seem a little cranky.
I really am not cranky. It just seems like a thing where we pretend that there's subtlety and nuance to the story, and there isn't. It's just that everybody pretends. It's like, you know what it is? It's like showing up. It's like an episode of Family Ties where Alex, takes two dates to the prom at the same time. And really, you know, he wasn't supposed to go with either of them because he was really dating that Elaine girl. And then somehow the wacky mix-up ensued and he's going to the prom with what's-her-name and then also what's-her-name's, like, hot cousin. The situation in the Middle East is exactly like that, Dawn.
There are a few things that can't be explained by episodes of Family Ties.
That's what I'm just saying. Really? Alex wasn't supposed to go to the prom with either of those girls because he's with the other guy. Really? God didn't promise the land to anybody. You know? Because either there is no God or if there is a God, he's probably busy, you know, with other stuff that actually, what do you call it, matters. Ah. So, just, everybody just stifle.
Right, there's your, there's a story about the Max.
Well, the Mississippi River drew to within a finger's length of the highest level ever recorded at Greenville, Mississippi.
Within a what?
A finger's length.
Whose finger?
I don't know whose finger.
Is this an actual measurement? Is this like a farthing? Or that's a thing? That's a something else?
it's a hair's breadth. I don't know. It's a finger's length. I don't know. This is CNN. So it however long...
You don't sound at all like James Earl Jones.
However long the stubby fingers of CNN correspondents are, that's how close it was.
No, they're usually very slender and ladylike.
Oh. The flood of historic proportions continued to slink its way to the Gulf of Mexico. Again, this is CNN offering this verbiage. Levees along the length of the river appeared to be holding, and water diverted through spillways seemed to be rising more slowly than expected. But Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal warned residents there's still plenty that could go wrong. He said, there's still an awful lot of water headed our way, and it's going to be here in many cases for weeks, not just a few days.
Okay.
The Coast Guard closed the Mississippi River around Natchez, Mississippi, to prevent damage to levees from passing barges. Especially near Vidalia, Louisiana, where authorities have been fighting to keep the river out of that city's convention center and out of their drinking water supplies. The Coast Guard also reported river closures near Berwick and Morgan City, Louisiana, and the Bayou Chain, where workers submerged a barge to push floodwaters into wetlands and away from popular areas. In Mississippi, over 4,800 people have been displaced by flooding so far. A MAX train and a TriMet bus collided at a busy downtown intersection this morning.
Wait a minute. They didn't walk into a bar?
No.
Okay.
No, they bumped into each
Ran
other
into
on the
each
street.
Other. Okay.
Causing brief traffic delays and minor injuries to several bus passengers. The accident happened around 7 a.m. at the intersection of Southwest 6th and Jefferson. A Clackamas-bound train slammed into the driver's side of a number 45 bus. TriMet spokeswoman Becky Witt said the scene had been cleared and authorities are trying to determine what happened. Witnesses said the train slammed into the bus after the bus drove through a red light. Kyle Dittmer, 49, man on the street, was one of the several passengers on the MAX when the collision took place. He said he watched the light turn red and saw the bus continue to drive through the intersection. He said the MAX operator honked the horn three or four times before colliding with the bus. The impact, he said, caused quote, quite a jolt.
Okay.
So the Max was carrying three passengers at the time of the accident.
Is this really the biggest story we've got here in Portland today? Is this the lead
yes.
story in the...
My favorite part about this is, you know, our Cracker Jack light rail here in Portland.
Yes.
7 a.m., you know, people on their way to work. Max train. Three people on the Max.
Well, now where was that at? Was that at 3rd and
well,
Jefferson?
It was downtown. It was on its way to Clackamas.
That
so,
does surprise me because that Max is usually packed. So I don't know what that...
Maybe less and less people are finding the need to go to Clackamas.
It would be fewer and fewer people, first of all. Secondly, I don't know, because I have occasion to be... What?
Haven't we established that the common usage now is such that you can say less and fewer much the same way?
If you're content to be a commoner, Dawn... Are you? Are you content to do the bare minimum?
It's like the word decimate, which originally meant to kill one in ten,
yes.
But now we use it to mean to just destroy a whole mass of things. But common usage now means that you can use it in that fashion as well.
Well, that's just giving a colloquial meaning to something. You're actually just reversing two words. You're giving a colloquial meaning to decimate because there is, in other words, you're adding an adjunct definition to it, as opposed to less and fewer, where you've actually got a word for each of them, and you're just swapping them. It's not like you need to add definitions to one to make it more expansive.
It's not a matter of adding.
You're just taking two. It's like reversing the white spy and the black spy in Mad Magazine.
But I think that it has been smarter minds than ours have established that,
it's
yes,
really not
less
true.
And fewer common usage now.
Well, what do you mean? Okay. First of all, that wasn't an actual sentence, what you just said there. You didn't. You just had a lot of ellipses there for where actual thought would be. What do you mean? Here's what you just said. You go, smarter minds than ours, less, fewer, common usage. You know, gridlock.
Armchair, yes.
What?
I believe that linguists and folks that are experts in such things have established that less and fewer...
Now, why do I not count as being an expert in such things?
Is one of those common...
Why are experts people who are not in this room? Why don't I count as an expert on less and fewer, if I actually know how they work?
Have you published papers on the thing? Do you devote your entire life, your the bulk of your career, to establishing the usage of words and...
I think we've established the answer is yes.
But not, not as a... not as a hobby, really, or as a side project of your talk show history, that there are people who are professional, linguists. They do these things.
I do these things professionally. I'm lecturing you right now. I mean, as part of the Emerson News Network, I am upbraiding you for your incorrect use of... What do you want from me?
I believe in this case that you may actually be wrong.
Okay, well, nobody has published a paper saying that... I mean, if what you are saying is that some guy somewhere wrote a paper saying, well, people are dumb and they're just using it wrong all the time, I agree with that. But I don't think anybody just said, and so therefore, it's okay. I don't really know that has actually happened. No one's hit a gavel and just said, they don't mean that anymore.
Well, I'll have to look into it, but I believe it has been established that common usage...
Okay, no. Common usage what?
Common usage is...
Give me the rest of the sentence.
It's one of those things where words and meanings of words evolve due to common usage, and that our use of less and fewer has become almost interchangeable in many ways, and even though the original meanings were that they meant different things, because of common usage, it is now all right to use less in many of the same ways that you would use fewer.
Who is our... And
English
all right,
speakers.
And all right with whom?
People who get uppity about such things.
No.
They can't get uppity about it anymore because now it's okay.
I think we've established within the last few minutes that that's also not true. I think empirically your statement is false.
Well, yes, you can get up, but you can get uppity about a lot of things.
Oh, I shall. I shall. I will. I will never stop doing so. That will remain my leitmotif and my raison d'etre. I handed you some other news, I think.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. Let's read some of that.
Okay. Look, you're the one who worked for the goddamn newspaper.
I know. I also wrote a piece where I used the word penultimate wrong in the first sentence of something, and then I...
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm not going to allow you to lecture me on anything from now on.
And then I couldn't, put it on in my my clips.
Nope.
Because I only had a PDF of it, and I couldn't go back and fix it.
Fail. Yeah. Somebody wants to... Well, this is, again, somebody demanding to know what a finger's length is. I don't know, sir. I don't know whether it's a child's finger or an adult's finger. I don't know whether it's the finger laying flat. I don't know whether it's the finger fully extended or somewhat curled. I don't have answers to any of these things.
I know. Your average female hand, your average male hand, Caucasian, African-American. Is there a difference in finger length? We don't know.
Somebody points out that you are the kind of person who uses Facebook in Scrabble. So, Because, you know, it's common usage.
Yes, but it's also a proper noun.
I'm just passing. You can use proper nouns in Scrabble now. We talked about in this studio, we talked about
it. Okay, you're right. I can't remember everything.
Have you had an MRI
lately?
How
many things we talk about? I'm supposed to remember all of them?
I think somebody has Kip Kinkle brain.
You couldn't remember that I asked you to print something out like 10 minutes ago.
Oh, if I was an elf, I would totally be called Kip Kinkle brain. I'd be a really smart elf that would talk to you about, you know, I don't know, about something to do with the complexities of nature. And then I would, I would gesture towards a screen where an illustrative slideshow would play.
And then you would be moody and kill me.
Well, that's just here. Yeah. Here's Don Taylor.
All right. The Australian Prime Minister, Julia Gillard, has called for an end to the internet phenomenon of planking after a man died when he fell from a seventh floor balcony while having his picture taken. Planking entails people lying face down on their stomach with their arms and legs straight out in unusual locations and posting photographs of this on social media websites.
I don't understand. They're laying down and spreading out their arms.
No, they're holding their arms straight back.
Right.
And then just laying kind of straight flat. And then you lay on like a desk or a ping pong table or across a chair or a park bench. And you take a picture of yourself and you post it online.
Right. How is it that you die laying on a ping pong table? Maybe I'm missing something.
You die if you try to do it balancing on a seventh floor balcony and you fall off.
Okay, that's not planking. That's just standing on the edge of a building.
Well, or laying on your stomach and trying to lay face
right,
down.
Right. I don't think it's the laying down part that is dangerous.
Yeah, no. Gillard described the death of Acton Beale, 20, as, quote, really tragic, and urged plankers to consider the safety implications of their pastime. The planking Facebook page is liked by more than 116,000 people, although there is a separate planking Australia page with images showing planking on a basketball hoop, a chair, and a television. Queensland State Police Deputy Commissioner Ross Barnett told reporters that Beale fell from the balcony railing while a friend photographed him on a Sunday morning in Brisbane. The railing is believed to have been 2 inches wide.
Was there a creepy Japanese girl sort of in the background kind of staring at him unnoticed by all until later?
There's a difference between a harmless bit of fun done somewhere that's really safe and taking a risk with your life, Gillard told reporters on Sunday. Everybody likes a bit of fun, but focus has to be on keeping yourself safe first. Beale's death comes less than a week after another Australian man was charged with being found in a police establishment without lawful excuse after he had allegedly indulged his passion by planking over a police car.
So is this like ghost riding the whip, but like the next generation? Because that was the whole thing about the guys would get out of their car and then they would break dance or something on the hood of their Monte Carlo while it rolled slowly down a street somewhere.
Yeah, I think this maybe points out that perhaps in Australia they're lacking in imagination, because apparently this is like a craze in Australia to lie face down on something and have someone take a picture.
Is this just because they're drunk and they need a place to recline for a while?
Well, apparently it was previously, the common name for it previously was the lying down game.
Okay.
And now planking has become an Australia-specific term for it.
You know, we've got Australian listeners. Maybe they could shed some light on this. Because it was, for example, yesterday, let me see if I can find this. Was it here that we were asking questions about some of the lexicon that they use in New Zealand?
Yes.
And somebody, so then Dan from New Zealand actually responded to me because we had asked about the phrase play up. And he said, yes, play up is a Kiwi term. It's slang for acting up or to behave carelessly. Dan from New Zealand. He said also a slang for, you know, go crazy, act like a fool / idiot in public, whatever. So this is, okay, so now attention, Jules and Kiki, who are our Australian listeners. I mean, and also, there's a guy in Melbourne, and his name is escaping me at the moment. But Jules and Kiki, so if you can shed some light on the phenomenon of planking, and to tell us perhaps if that's a thing that happens near where y'all live, we'd appreciate it. All right, there you go.
So,
by the way, I'm sorry, just Keelan wanted to note that it's all white people that do this.
Oh, yeah.
It's always, always, always. White people who are just, they're just unsatisfied with the torpor that exists and the dry, dull suburban existence. And they decide that, I know what I'll do. I'll just balance on a surfboard on top of a telephone pole during a tsunami, during a hurricane, because that'll be, and then I'll post pictures of it on Facebook.
Hmm. Let's do science.
All right. Here's your science on the march for Tuesday, May 17th, 2011. Thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. And I can never tell. So are you just reading all of the news off your phone today, or a fair amount of the news?
No, I have some of it. I have some of it printed out, and then I have some of it. I had some stories that I saved to my phone.
Okay.
And so a few of them I'm reading off my phone, and a few of them I'm reading off of printouts.
It's just
and then
interesting.
Tomorrow, because today, this afternoon, I am getting a new laptop. So tomorrow I will be back.
It's kind of great that the newsroom has actually shrunk to the point that where you can just do the majority of the show off your phone, which is sort of awesome.
I know. It's so sad that that. Again, and we talk a lot about the Louis C.K. thing about just going, damn it, you know, complaining that the Wi-Fi isn't good enough on the airplane. And it's like, you're sitting in a seat flying through the air. It's magic. And me, I'm just like, God damn it, why can't I just print documents right off my phone?
Yeah, well.
You stupid phone won't let me just print documents.
It's like, I'll have our crosses to bear, Whitey. all right, here's your Science of the March, brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find out more about them at squireselectric.com or facebook.com/squireselectric, or you can call 503-252-1609. That is 503-252-1609. They are licensed, bonded, and insured electrical installers, contractors, and supervisors. And so if you are facing issues with the wiring in your home, or you're going to be moving into a place, you want to get it taken care of, you want to be sure that the place you're buying is as it is being described to you, or if you're going to be renting out your home or your apartment to somebody else, you want to make sure they don't, you know, die of some horrible electrical fire the first night, which is just going to cause problems for you, and then there's a lawsuit, and then it's just depositions, and there's never a break in your life from that.
They lay on top of something because they're planking.
Sure.
And there's a wire that's loose.
Planking, sure. Just make sure that all of these things go smoothly and properly. Of course, if you just want to get an inspection out of the way, you can have them actually come out and do a pre-inspection to know that when the man actually walks through, that you will pass it with flying colors. So you can contact him at 503-252-1609 or Squires Electric. .com. By the way, I just have to note this. So there was some guy who was snarking at me about being like a grammar Nazi. And I swear to you, it's times like this when you just feel like the divine hand of providence
Let
just
me
coming
guess,
down.
He spelled something wrong.
It's not just that. It's not just that. He spelled something wrong and then tried to correct himself and misspelled something else in the sentence.
Aww.
And then did it twice more. So it's like four times in four sentences while trying to correct me. And then he kept putting asterisk and then he just vanished. When I finally just, and I typically don't like ever snark back or whatever, but after the fourth mistake, I finally just typed, well done. And then he just logged off.
Oh.
Have a good day. All right, here's, you'll be missed, Don Taylor.
The parents of a New York Rangers player found dead in his apartment have decided to donate his brain to Boston University researchers studying the effects of concussion in athletes. New York Rangers enforcer Derek Bougard was found dead Friday in his Minneapolis apartment. An autopsy was conducted Saturday, according to the Hennepin County Medical Examiner's Office in Minnesota, which confirmed that Bougard's parents signed papers to donate Bougard's brain. The office has not released a cause of death, saying that it was waiting for toxicology
test
results.
They saved Bougard's brain.
Dr. Robert Stern, co-director for Boston University's Center for the Study of Traumatic Encephalopathy, confirmed Sunday that the family has donated Bougard's brain to the VA CSTE Brain Bank for study. The center has a donation registry for athletes to study effects of trauma on the brain and spinal cord. Bougard, 28, began his NHL career with the Minnesota Wild. The Saskatoon, Saskatchewan native joined the Rangers last July and appeared in 22 games during the 2010-11 season. He has supported the Defending the Blue Line Foundation, a nonprofit that ensures the children of military personnel get the opportunity to play hockey.
Wait, so is this the guy that... This isn't the guy that shot himself.
No.
Okay, that was... So they are...
No, they currently don't know why he died. They're waiting on toxicology.
But they are examining his brain?
Yeah, because he had already previously agreed to donate his brain. There's actually a center that is looking specifically at the brains and spinal cords of athletes.
So who am I thinking of? I am thinking of, there was an NFL player, and if Greg Nibbler were here, he'd be able to tell me this. Somebody will know. But there's an NFL player that actually, he shot himself. He committed suicide maybe a year ago. Sometime within the last year, and I forget his name, but he was a fairly high-profile athlete, and but he killed himself, and it was notable because he actually shot himself in the chest. And he shot himself in the chest because he wanted his brain to be able to be studied after he was dead, because he believed that constant exposure to concussions and battery, and and just the sort of violent, the violent injuries that are caused to your body during sports, that had actually led to brain damage, which had led to mood swings and severe depression.
So yeah,
he had
I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, so when he killed himself, it was actually, I guess, sort of great in a way, because he actually wanted them to be able to study. Anyway, so they actually they did study his brain after he died, and it actually came out just 2 or 3 days ago that he was in fact suffering from everything he thought he was suffering from, and there were physiological reasons for it. All of the stuff that he suspected had been at the root of his problem, it all turned out to be true.
Wow.
So this sounds like it's sort of along the same lines, that he donated his body so they can figure out exactly what it does if you're slamming up against a guy for 10 years on the ice somewhere.
It'd be interesting to know, like, how many guys they have on that registry now. How many athletes in different kinds of sports have actually signed up already to do this when they die.
Yeah, because even if it's not damaging your brain or your spine, I mean, it's not like it's really a healthy regimen for living.
There is going to be damage of some sort, even if it doesn't make you completely brain damaged or wonky or something. It is valuable, I think, for them to take a look and see what different kinds of damage you have sustained during the course of playing in your particular sport.
You should donate your body to science, but one of the rules should be that when they're done, they have to mount you like a polar bear at like the entrance of a restaurant. So when kids walk in, you're sort of going like, "Rah!" in like an attack pose at the door.
I wanted to donate my body to the German guy who does the Body World guy.
Yeah, Gunter Hagen or whatever his name is.
Then I could just be the body that's just like sitting at a computer. You know, instead there's the skateboard guy and this basketball guy, and there's just like fat chick with fake hips sitting at a computer.
There's sitting in a beanbag scratching her ass girl. A hallmark of early 21st century American life.
It's just all like bone and sinew, and I've got a bag of Cheetos in one hand.
That's awesome.
For years, dermatologists have been aware of and baffled by people who feel a constant creepy crawly sensation beneath their skin, which they believe is due to bugs, worms, or eggs below the surface. Now, in the largest study to date to examine skin samples from patients with these symptoms, doctors have firm proof that these infestations, known as delusional parasitosis or delusional infestation, are not real. The researchers acknowledge, however, that the findings may not be enough to convince many of these patients. Patients often feel dismissed when doctors reassure them that the infestation is all in their head, and many continue to believe that they are teeming with bugs, even when skin biopsies come back negative.
Seriously, I don't ever want to be teeming with bugs. That's like on the list of things I don't want to be. No. That's like number two.
Mark D.P. Davis, M.D., a professor of dermatology at the Mayo Clinic, said it's almost impossible to get them to shake the belief, no matter how much evidence you produce to the contrary. Antipsychotic drugs are the standard treatment for delusional infestation, but Davis says a lot of patients with disorder don't want to take these drugs because they don't feel they have a delusional disorder. Some patients who experience the skin crawling sensation believe it is caused by textile-like fibers produced by an unknown organism.
These are the Morgellons people.
Yes. Along with a group of sympathetic doctors and advocates, these patients have pushed for the condition to be officially recognized as Morgellons disease and have lobbied successfully for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention to investigate it. However, most doctors maintain that the condition is psychological rather than physical.
Most doctors.
Yeah. In a new study published this week in the Archives of Dermatology, Davis and his colleagues sought to confirm this view by presenting the results of skin biopsies taken from patients in whom the delusional infestation was diagnosed at the Mayo Clinic. The researchers performed 80 biopsies. As expected, not one showed evidence of skin infestation, although 49 patients did have some skin inflammation known as dermatitis.
Yeah, that's also called picking at yourself because you're crazy.
Yeah.
That's and also, you know, what happens is, you know, because my wife gets these people occasionally and with them, it's psychosis that is fueled by, you know, massive amounts of drugs and alcohol. And so they'll just get these nutcase people that come in and they've just been sitting at home convinced that they're covered with, like, you know, electronic spiders or something. And they decide that the answer to that, of course, is just to jab at themselves with the pointed end of a coat hanger. And, you know, and so like 8 or 9 hours later, when they've perforated most of their skin, they think, well, this hurts. Maybe I'll go to the hospital. And so then they put on like a sweater. And then when they take the sweater off, what do you know? There's a little fibers stuck to all of the, what do you call it? Sticky blood areas all over their skin.
Open wounds.
Yeah. And then the doctor goes, well, this is from a sweater. And then, of course, the patient goes, you're in on it! And then suddenly it's like everybody's a tool of the man who's trying to, you know. Here's what I don't get. I don't know why somebody hasn't done some sort of a reality show with the Morgellons people. I mean, not, you know, not to make fun as such, but just as sort of a fascinating, I mean, it would be really interesting just to sort of, it's one of those things where it is just interesting to hear them, to just get a window into, like, how the crazy works and just have them explain, like, how, you know, how it is that, how it is that they believe. In other words, I'd like to know from their perspective how they think it operates, how they think it spreads, what do they think it, what, how does it manifest itself other than, like, the little thread things? Do they believe that they are passing it on to other people, that it's contagious? Do they think it's from aliens? Do they think it's from the government? Do they think it's from aliens? Do they think that it was implanted in them somehow? Did they have some religious connotation? Because people who think they have Morgellons are no different than people who think they have stigmata. You know, I mean, where it's just, you know, it's just crazy people doing what crazy people do. And but there is something really interesting about that when you can sort of examine. We can sort of examine the internal infrastructure of somebody's thought process and see exactly how it is that they've tipped over.
I think the problem is, though, that as a reality show producer, you may look at these crazy people and think, okay, obsessive compulsive disorder, there is something to that. Hoarders, that's very visual. We can get some good footage. Morgellons, it's really just going to be 2 hours of people scratching themselves.
I guess.
Don't know if that really makes for good TV.
Maybe. It seems like you could get one of those John Stossel guys, though, to make it sort of, they call it Morgellons, you know, and then they could do, and then you could have a whole section where the people where the people bring their little matchboxes with them, and they show all of the, you know, the strange creatures that they found crawling around on themselves, which are all obviously like carpet lint.
You get Keith Morrison to come in and just go, so why do you keep scratching yourself?
Yes.
So what do you think is under there, anyway?
I'm just saying. It seems like maybe just some sort of a niche, like a reality show. We should do like a, we should totally give a show to, we should give, have like a Morgellons cast or something, like Morgellons Radio. And just, you know, what's coming out of your skin today? And then people can call in and they can talk about what, you know, what's infesting them.
Nice.
Be like a,
you get a call screener just going, okay, we got Joanne on 3. She's got bugs.
I can't do anything. There's no alliteration with parasites. Like, there's no, like, double shot Tuesday for the parasite. Like, a parasite.
Yeah, no. You
know. Morgellons Monday? Nah, you know, just.
Dermatitis Thursday? No, that doesn't really do.
Well, I'll think on it.
Okay.
Joni Mitchell has that, by the way. Or so she thinks. Joni Mitchell's one of the, she's one of the Morgellons folk.
There's now a biodegradable urn. Called the BIOS urn, which brings a new meaning, so they say, to the phrase ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It combines a biodegradable mortuary urn containing coconut fiber, compacted peat, and cellulose, along with tree
compacted
seeds.
Compacted pea?
Peat.
Peat.
Okay. Peat moss and tree seeds, along in cellulose. You basically put your ashes inside the biodegradable urn, drop it in the ground, and as the tree sprouts, it draws some of its nutrients from the ashes of the deceased. Just about any type of seed or seedling can be used, although plants that like acidic soil might find that the ashes raise the pH of the soil too much for comfort. The urn is a collaborative creation by design artists Martin Azua and Gerard Moline, and is sold by Limbo Disney, an innovative funerary items company. Azua said, I would like to be buried in a BIOS urn in a forest in the Basque country.
What other kind of innovative funerary products do you suppose there could be?
Well, they have, I don't know, they have a line of these urns for pets and animals. And Snowflake, an albino gorilla that lived at the Barcelona Zoo, was buried in a BIOS urn. And so now there's a tree that is gets its nutrients from the ashes of the dead gorilla.
So the question of what kind of tree would you be is no longer theoretical in the strictest sense.
You could actually do it.
You could actually become a tree,
yeah.
Sort of.
Ashes, including those from cremated remains, are good sources of phosphorus for plants. So it's actually good for the plant that your cremated body is in the urn.
Were you the one that wanted your ashes to be made into trinkets?
Yes.
That people can then just sort of, you know, that could be sold at some sort of craft fair?
No, they'd be given out.
It was like a door prize at the wake.
At my wake. You get to walk away with like a keychain or
right next
a
to the little nut cups on the table.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So at the end of science?
That's the end of science.
There we go. There's your science on the march for whatever the hell day this is. Tuesday, May 17th, 2011. Brought to you by Squires Electric. You can find out more about them at squireselectric.com or facebook.com/SquiresElectric. Next hour, the Rick Emerson Radio Program fills your ear holes with tasty, tasty entertainment and nougat. It's a nougat-like. It's a nougat-like substance, really. It's nougat with an E at the end, and also an accent
and a
mark and a trademark. And I'm assuming we do not have a penis watch and a cannibal watch today.
No, we have a... I know we have a geek watch, and there's something else, but I'm not sure what else. But there's definitely a geek watch.
All right, geek watch. Plus, because we're retards, we never did our killing recap yesterday.
No.
Which is like the second week in a row we've blown that. So today we'll recap Sunday night's episode of The Killing, and then a sort of yang to the yin. We'll recap last night's episode of House, which is like the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
Dear God, I never tweet about TV while I'm watching it. And last night I was on like Twitter or Facebook just going, oh, for the love of God, House.
I saw a lot of tweets about House last night. And I typically don't, you know, and it's not like I'm on Twitter all the time, but, you know, I sort of keep it running. And I have a little tweet client that just sort of runs like in the corner of my screen. And every once in a while I kind of glance over and see. And I have this the hell is it called? It's a bookmark, and so I actually now don't even remember the name of the site, but it actually is this, it's this amazing website that I actually can't keep open all the time because it is, you can set up to 5 different scrolling columns for different hashtags, and then it will actually just scroll every single tweet that mentions those constantly as, you know, in real time, or you can actually set it to auto-select the 5 topics which are the most referenced at that moment, and it can refresh like every 5 or 10 minutes. So like every five minutes, it will tell you the 5 most tweeted about subjects, and it will just scroll in real time side by side columns about that. And it's like the most information overload thing on earth.
For somebody who doesn't even really like Twitter particularly, you have put an awful lot of energy into this.
It's a thing that I actually found, I don't know, it was like when Twitter first sort of entered the cultural consciousness, which is around the same time. It was like when we were getting ready to do the KUFO thing. And there was someone at CBS who shall remain nameless, who was all about like that we had to be talking about whatever was... We had to be talking about whatever was trending on Twitter. Like, that's the way that we would reach the whatever demographic. Like, is the key is to talk about whatever people are talking about on Twitter. That's how you know what's popular. And so we just, and so we had this, and so we were all, like, dutiful CBS employees. Like, well, you're paying us, whatever. And so I found this webpage where it was, like, again, like, 5 columns. And you would, and it would be the weirdest thing because, like, for like half an hour, like on a Wednesday night for no reason, like My Little Pony would be one of the hashtags or something that was just constantly being, and it would go by, and then it would be gone, and it would be replaced by like Martha Stewart. But anyway, so I was watching the Twitter feed go by last night, and I did notice a lot of stuff about House. And a lot of it was like, for the love of God. And one of them just said, don't the writers of this show have any shame? The answer to that, by the way, is no. No, no, no. So we'll talk about last night's episode of House. Also, Sunday's episode of The Killing. And by the way, speaking of acting and embarrassment, so we'll talk about this. So I went on an audition this morning. And I mentioned this to you yesterday, maybe, or a couple of, maybe on Friday. I didn't really read you much of this. I didn't read you many of the notes because I wanted to stay fresh. You know, I wanted to have it in my head. I wanted to be able
I knew is you were auditioning for the part of a guy with a chainsaw.
Yeah, let me see if I actually got the... I was auditioning for the role of rugged chainsaw-wielding man.
Because when you think rugged, you think Rick Emerson.
That's right. When you think Rick Emerson, you think chainsaws, Don. And so I did that this morning. So I went to the audition. And by the way, I didn't even read. Here's the thing.
That's your rugged shirt? Then,
well, in a manner of speaking. Okay. There's a whole story behind this. But I've actually got the notes with me as well. So we'll talk about that. I'm sure it's going to be a raging success.
Oh, yeah.
I think Greg is actually on audition this morning, too. He might actually be acting.
No,
Did he actually get the gig?
Yeah, he actually got the gig. So he was off doing something that had to do with, like, a nail gun or something, and you were going, hey, maybe it's for the same thing because I'm doing a chainsaw.
So was it like, on camera, or was it for, like, a magazine ad? I thought it might have been for a print ad.
I really don't know.
Well, anyway, yeah, so he was doing something where he had to be holding some sort of construction implement, and so I thought it was going to be sort of the great awkward thing of he and I going, you know, auditioning for the same role or whatever. But it looks like, so he's already got the thing, and it's for like a nail gun
tool
or a,
use.
Yeah, you know, some sort of a, you know, like a, and it was like some sort of a Makita type product. So anyway, so we'll talk about all that next hour. That is at rickemersonshow.com, where you, yes, you, but not you, can be entertained for the low, low cost of just 32 cents a day. That is 32 cents a day at rickemersonshow.com. A giveaway, a bargain. It's mind-boggling is what it is. Here's Don Taylor.
The head of the powerful International Monetary Fund will spend the next few days in an 11-by-13-foot cell at New York's Rikers Island jail complex, a far cry from the $3,000-a-night luxury suite where he allegedly chased a housekeeping employee naked down the hallway and sexually assaulted her. A haggard-looking Dominic Strauss-Kahn, a man who has helped bail out desperate countries in need of cash, was himself denied bail Monday by a Manhattan criminal court judge. By the end of the day, the 62-year-old, who had been presumptive front-runner for the presidency of France, was settled in at Rikers Island. Legal analyst Sunny Huston says his current accommodations are not luxury at all.
I've been to Rikers Island as an attorney, and it is an unpleasant place.
Well, there you go. His new neighbors include 14,000 men and women who have been accused or convicted of a host of crimes committed in New York City. A few days later, Strauss-Kahn was staying at a posh... A few days earlier, excuse me, Strauss-Kahn was staying at a posh suite at the Sofitel Hotel, replete with its own foyer, conference room, hallway, and living room. Police said the IMF chief was naked when he allegedly tried to lock the 32-year-old hotel employee in the suite and force himself on her on Saturday.
So hard to rape good help these days.
Huston says he still has a chance of being out by the end of next week.
There is another hearing in this case on May 20th. He'll be in front of a different judge, and there's no question at that time his defense attorneys will ask that judge to revisit the conditions of bail.
So I guess he was considered to be on track to be the president of France. He was the heir apparent, but the presumptive nominee or the presumptive front runner for the presidency of France. Where apparently he had a reputation as being something of a not even a Lothario, but just a, but they actually did call him the seducer. That was apparently his nickname. The very first story I read
like
about him.
Seduction technique needs a little bit of work.
Seduction technique is basically just a gun. That's look, I've got your family in a secure location. I'm going to chop off their fingers right now unless you do me. But you know, of course, and in France, there is, you know, and in a lot of places that are not the United States, there is not necessarily a blind eye, but there's just much less attention paid to that sort of thing in terms of being, you know, in being a ladies' man and also than being a politician. But he did have a reputation,
which we will get to in a few minutes.
Oh yeah, no, we'll talk. Yeah, we'll talk more about the contrast between various cultures here in just a second. But there was never any hint that he was sort of improper about it, except for, I guess, a couple years ago, he was getting it on with some chick who worked for him, and everybody sort of said it was consensual. But that was the one eyebrow that had been raised. And then, yeah, the next thing you know, he's like sort of at full mast, like chasing some chick down the hallway with a butcher knife or whatever. So that trended quickly in an ugly direction.
Yeah. Sarkozy is saying that went exactly as I planned. So, that was my Sarkozy impression.
Okay.
Thieves have been targeting local kids who want to play baseball. Fortunately, thanks to some community start, the games will continue. The Mount Tabor Little League president says someone broke into the concession stand at Harrison Park sometime between last Thursday and Friday night. The league president reported to the police the thieves got away with gloves, gift certificates, candy, bottled drinks, and other supplies. The biggest strike against the league... Thank you, KPTV. Was the theft of 5 cases of pepperoni sticks. They are worth more than $1,500 and were going to be sold by the players to raise money for the league. The league president says this isn't the first time they've been the victims of a break-in. The league lost $8,000 worth of uniforms to rain and mold when someone tried to break into a storage trailer at the park over the winter. Some local businesses have stepped up so the kids can keep playing baseball. Stumptown Coffee donated $2,000. Rick's Custom Fencing added another $1,500. And Fred Meyer and Salvation Army have pledged to replace equipment and stolen food. So, and I guess police are on the lookout for people that are eating a lot of pepperoni sticks.
It seems like there ought to be some other baseball analogy that I can make here.
Bases.
I was trying to do like a whole, like it's a stretch to see where I'm trying to go with this, yeah. And I just... No, I got that. All right, okay.
Those thieves are in a league of their own.
No, that's just nothing.
Let's do science. Okay. No, not science. We already did science. I had an extra science story.
Is it Thursday where you are?
Let's do an entertainment story.
Okay. Here's your entertainment news for Tuesday, Legion of News.
Neve Campbell's divorced. Like anyone cares.
Was that the extent of the story?
That's it. Well, yeah, she and her husband John Light had their divorce finalized on May 6th. They submitted a confidential settlement agreement, and the terms of the settlement have not been revealed. So, yes, okay. That's pretty much the whole story.
Okay, hold on a second. Let's see if I can actually. Can you just do that thing, the story that you just did there? Do that exactly the same way, and see if I can actually get this to be okay. Okay.
Neve Campbell is divorced. Okay.
And then that would be the transitional sound into the next. Whenever you're going to just do a short headline, it stands on its own.
Well, here, let's try another one of those. I got nothing else. Okay.
You're really bringing your A game today.
I know. I'm all over. cover it. Okay, here we go.
She's Dawn Taylor.
After 45 years promoting treatment and cure for children he calls my kids, comedian Jerry Lewis announced Monday he's retiring as host of the Labor Day Muscular Dystrophy Association.
That wasn't even appropriate there.
Do you have him singing?
I do, but I figured it'd be too predictable. I thought I'd go with the ka-chung instead.
But it's so lovely.
We'll end with that.
Lewis, 85, issued a statement through the association calling it time for an all-new telethon era. As a labor of love, I've hosted the annual telethon since 1966, and I'll be making my final appearance on the show this year by performing my signature song, You'll Never Walk Alone.
Walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never, never walk alone. You will never walk alone.
Lewis, a Las Vegas resident, has in recent years battled a debilitating back condition, heart issues, and the crippling lung disease, pulmonary fibrosis.
And the tasty, tasty taste of Percocet.
He says he'll continue serving as National Muscular Dystrophy Association chairman, as he's done since the 1950s. I'll never desert MDA and my kids, he said.
Okay.
Yeah. So former governor, California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger, has acknowledged that he fathered a child with a member of his household staff. A revelation that apparently prompted wife Maria Shriver to leave the couple's home before they announced their separation last week. Schwarzenegger and Shriver jointly announced May 9th they were splitting up after 25 years of marriage. Yet Shriver moved out of the family's Brentwood mansion earlier in the year after Schwarzenegger acknowledged the child is his. After leaving the governor's office, I told my wife about this event, which occurred over a decade ago, Arnold Schwarzenegger told the Los Angeles Times. I understand and deserve the feelings of anger and disappointment among my friends and family. There are no excuses, and I take full responsibility for the hurt I've caused. Schwarzenegger's representatives did not comment further. The Times did not publish the former staffer's name nor that of her child, but said the woman worked for the family for 20 years and had retired in January. In an interview Monday before Schwarzenegger issued his statement, the former staffer said another man, her husband at the time, was the child's father. When the Times later informed the woman of the governor's statement, she declined to comment further.
You know, it's amazing that they were able to kind of keep it secret all this time, which indicates that she probably didn't tell anybody, because you think that's the sort of thing that, I mean, if she told one person, that would probably just, you know, leak out everywhere. So I don't know if he was paying her or whatever, or if it was understood that he would take care of, you know, whatever down the line, or if it was just some sort of or if she was married and figured that it wasn't going to do anybody any good for her to come out with it. But it's astounding that actually remained silent as he was running for governor, as he was, came out more or less by choice. I mean, that he actually just volunteered the information at one point.
And I do find myself wondering, it's like, did Maria Shriver really not know? Or did she just go, look, I'll stay married to you, like, during the politics thing, but as soon as we're done with that, I'm out of here.
I don't know. Because it
certainly does seem like, you know, they seemed like they were pretty happy together.
Well, and she doesn't strike me as being anybody's like backseat girl. I mean,
no.
Maria Shriver seems to have a very strong sense of self. So
yeah.
I wonder if it is that Schwarzenegger finally just said, like, well, now that that's done, because really, like,
by the way,
because if it comes out now, like, who cares? I mean,
yeah.
I'm not saying who cares, but I mean, it does. If it comes out now, he's already out of the governor's office. It's, you know, and it doesn't. It's not like it's going to impact his career being a star, being a celebrity spokesperson, or, you know, or his endorsement deals or anything. It's not going to be harmed by this. So.
And then imagine if you're like the 10-year-old kid that you just get up, you know, one morning and you're the Terminator's kid. I'm sorry, my dad is who?
That's awesome. That really has got to be that is going to be the happiest day of your life. If you you wake up and you just find out that, you know, like the jackass that you thought was your dad is in fact not. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, the schlub real estate developer Arnold Schwarzenegger's my dad.
Especially because one half of your genes are fantastic.
Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane is developing a new version of the Flintstones. The first cartoon character I drew at age 2 was Fred Flintstone, he said in a statement. So it's appropriate that events have come full circle, allowing him to produce the newest incarnation of this great franchise. Plus, I really think, Mary, I think America is finally ready for an animated sitcom about a fat, stupid guy with a wife who's too good for him.
Wah, wah.
Production on the show starts this fall, and the animated series is set for a 2013 release.
Is it going to be straight ahead? Is it going to be...
Well, it's Seth MacFarlane.
But I mean, is it going to be sort of a winking, ironic? Because here's what I don't need. I don't need another very Brady movie. take on, on the franchise.
Well, I figure since, you know, Hanna-Barbera still owns the rights to it, it's not going to be, you know, Family Guy profane.
And plus, he must know at this point that there's only so many times he can stir the same drink with that swizzle stick. I mean, there was that sort of infographic that went around a while back where they were, as though anybody needed to have this demonstrated for them, showing that every Seth MacFarlane show is effectively the same and has the same cast of characters, which, again, you know, hey, if you can make money doing that, that's great. But he does strike me as a savvy guy and a smart guy, and so he's got to know that he needs to diversify a little bit, because the thing is, if he could make an actual family-friendly show that was good, that it was of substance, was of quality, I mean, that would be an exponential leap forward in terms of his valuation. I mean, he's already one of the highest paid people in Hollywood.
Yeah.
But I mean, it would be kind of like when Mike Judge went from Beavis and Butthead to King of the Hill, showing that he could do a fully formed television program that wasn't just a collection of gags. And I think that would do one, and not that he might not even really care what people think of him, but I mean, that would do wonders for his credibility as an artist with a broader section of the public and the creative community too.
Anyway, I'm also interested to see if he's going to keep stretching himself thinner and thinner, if he's going to do voices for it as well.
Because I guess he does, because he does voices for Cleveland Show, American Dad, and Family Guy, right?
Right.
So,
Actor Denzel Washington served as commencement speaker at the University of Pennsylvania on Monday as he addressed an estimated 5,000 graduates. He said, "I had come exactly because I might make a fool of myself. I found that nothing is worthwhile unless you take risks. Nothing." The Oscar-winning actor also challenged the graduates to take more risks, saying, "Do you have the guts to fail? If you don't fail, you're not even trying."
Do you have the guts to make The Bone Collector? Hey, what is the last film that Denzel Washington made that we all saw?
I have no idea.
I got nothing.
No.
Is he an inside job?
Yes. I think.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. I just, he...
He's kind of fallen off the radar for me.
He's always there. And I don't really, and then he's around the periphery of my mind somewhere, but I don't ever seek him out. It's like I don't go, ooh, a Denzel Washington movie.
It's just he is again one of those guys that just, you know, he can be gone for long stretches of time and he still remains an A-list star. But until this moment, it hadn't occurred to me that he hadn't. I don't think he's done anything that I've seen. I mean, except for Inside Job,
he probably had something just a couple of months ago, and somebody will like pop up and email us and go, "You idiots!"
He's also one of those guys that actually just every now and again just goes and just Broadway stuff, or just, you know, goes and he just, you know, he'll just do stage work for like 2 years and then he comes back. So.
Yeah. The battling Snow White movies are positioning themselves. Snow White and the Huntsman, which stars Kristen Stewart and Chris Hemsworth, has been moved up to a release day of June 1st of next year. The picture was scheduled to come out in December of 2012. Another Snow White film, which is still untitled, stars Julia Roberts and Lily Collins, and that's coming out June 29th, 2012. So that would mean that there would be two Snow White movies coming out in the same month.
Is there really a demand for two Snow White movies in the same month? Or
is
one?
Is there a demand for any Snow White movies?
I can't imagine if there really is.
But you're getting them anyway, people. There you go.
Take it and like
whether
it.
Whether you want them or not.
And, of course, as you predicted, somebody says, "You idiots." He was in Unstoppable.
Yeah, see, there you go.
All right.
I knew that would happen.
We're not all that bright, sir.
No.
All right. And let's just wait out these last few seconds. Excellent. And with that, hey, that segues really well.
Ooh, that was nice.
I think we've got a new sound effect. We just save the sound bank. Save as awesome. And with that, we bring the curtain down on this, another exciting episode of Legion of News. We come to you live each and every weekday from the studios of the Emerson News Network, high above the Milkpacking District in glorious Southeast Portland, Oregon. At the news desk, Don Taylor, Advanced Technology and Magic, provided by Mr. Thomas Gill, Executive Producer Bruce Agler, Chief of Staff Cheryl Kanakoa. The Rick Emerson Show is next at rickemersonshow.com. We will see you again tomorrow for another episode of Legion of News. This is Tuesday, May 17th, 2011. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow.